WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Sources tell ABC that President Trump is moving to fire the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia after his office was unable to prosecute the New York Attorney General, Letitia James. ABC's Dave Packer has more.
Federal prosecutors in Virginia have uncovered no clear evidence to prove that James had knowingly committed mortgage fraud when she purchased a home in the state in 2023. But sources say Trump officials pushed U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert to nevertheless bring criminal charges against her.
His last day is expected to be today. President Trump suggested the FCC could take away licenses from broadcasters repeatedly critical of him. That follows Disney's decision to take Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. The CDC vaccine advisory panel continues work today, considering changing scheduling recommendations for vaccinations. And the head of British intelligence said there's no evidence Vladimir Putin wants to negotiate peace in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new season of Saturday Night Live is just around the corner, and the show has announced guest hosts for the first three episodes of season 51. The new season premieres October 4 and will feature Bad Bunny as the show's host. This will be Bad Bunny's first time hosting, although he's appeared previously as a musical guest. The musical guest on October 4th will be Doja Cat. Week 2 will feature SNL alum Amy Poehler on October 11th. She will be joined by musical guest role model. Amy Poehler was a regular cast member from 2001 to 2008 and a former Weekend Update anchor. This will be her second solo stint as a host on the show. She previously hosted with Tina Fey in 2015 and hosted solo in 2010. Sabrina Carpenter will pull double duty as both host and musical guest on October 18th. Her album Man's Best Friend just debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200 in August. She's been a musical guest, but this will be Carpenter's hosting debut. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A close call for Kraft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers were holding practice yesterday when suddenly Tucker Kraft went down with a knee injury after an exam. They don't believe it's going to be long-term. Now, the Packers play the Browns on Sunday. Can Luke Musgrave or John Fitzpatrick fill Kraft's spot at tight end? Offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich.
I like our room with the tight end room, so I think, you know, we'll be able to figure out the best path forward depending on what happens there with Tucker.
Badger football, Wisconsin against Maryland, 11 a.m. tomorrow in Madison. In their first Big Ten game of the year, is this where they can start to turn the program around? Quarterback Danny O'Neill.
Yeah, absolutely. We're 2-1 right now. There's a lot of teams that are the same way. So just being able to, you know, go execute against Big Ten opponents. And yeah, like you said, everything that we want is still in front of us.
Baseball, the Brewers in St. Louis tonight against the Cards. Milwaukee's magic number now down to 4 after sweeping the Angels last night 5-2. Quinn Priester's 12th win in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the state of free speech in the U.S. Also, what's going on with the Epstein files. Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan joins us in hour number one. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bourbons. Mostly cloudy skies for today. A cooler day with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing, highs in the upper 60s. Showers likely, perhaps a thunderstorm tonight. We're looking for lows in the mid-50s, with rain still likely on Saturday. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real results is going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Stuart Waddles. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Civic Media's own Terry Barr joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, it looks like a few showers moved through the Wisconsin area overnight. If you're a rainfall reporter, I'd love to hear from you. Come on in. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. So glad that we are part of a Friday morning with you. I was watching social media last night. The weather turned out to be beautiful for thousands of people gathered together in a farm field out in Brooklyn for the Luke Bryan concert. I think the farm department staff behaved themselves from what I saw on social media. We'll see what they look like when they show up in the office today. What's showing up for us weather-wise today is a few more showers that are probably going to make their way through the mid-morning hours. Today, we do have more clouds than sun. Looks like daytime highs today right around 79 degrees. We'll have a little patchy fog in some areas this morning. More rain possible overnight and rain into Saturday morning. In fact, we could have a thunderstorm that develops probably Saturday afternoon. Some cloudy skies on Saturday, daytime highs around 75. Sunday, another chance of early morning showers, otherwise a sunny day. 75 are expected high on Sunday and Monday. Still rain in the forecast. We'll see what Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, has to say about all that. And remember, our talk text line is open to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can send us pictures if something happened in your neighborhood. Keep us up to date on how the harvest is going. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Coming up in a moment, Wisconsin farmers have been on the move, not just in farm fields, but in Washington, D.C. Talking about that with Bob Bosold and the Wisconsin Farmers Union next.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Little change up on a Friday morning. Instead, let's welcome in Stephanie Hoff talking about the value of recreational land in Wisconsin. Listen up, you hunters.
The recreational land market across Wisconsin is booming with demand driven by buyers from nearby cities seeking weekend getaways or future residences. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and this is the word from Chad Garteski. He's the owner and broker at Weiss Realty. He specializes in rural property across Wisconsin and Minnesota, and he says when it comes to recreational land, we're still very much in a seller's market thanks to low inventory compared to a decade ago. He tells us where demand is coming from for these enjoyable acres.
It's a mix of both local and I'd say regional. So if you're looking at Western Wisconsin, a lot of our buyers are coming from Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and then the Minneapolis-St. Paul market, or even Rochester. So I would say within The majority of our buyers are within 90 minutes to 2 hours drive time to that destination in western Wisconsin.
So you think it's just people looking for a little escape?
That's a great way to describe it. They want to be close enough to where these major work centers are so that if they get done at noon, they could be out on their property by 2 or 3 o'clock to enjoy the evening. 70% of it's probably more the weekend use or that sort of thing, whereas I'd say 30% probably are people that want to live there permanently or have plans of living there in the future permanently. It's becoming a bigger and bigger part of the equation as far as to have a good build site in terms of being able to place a home there. Say even 10 years ago, that was not nearly as much the driver as what it is right now.
Do you think COVID had something to do with that?
Absolutely. COVID, the desire for space, the desire to be able to get away from people when you need to, for sure. I mean, the post-COVID market, those 18 months to 3 years after that scare really drove the rural market.
We're talking a little bit about what the buyer looks like. It sounds like it's like working age people, not necessarily investors or retirees for that matter.
If I were to put an age on it, I would say it's probably 45 to 65 years old. People that are established in their careers, and a large share of them, I would say, are business owners. Business owners, entrepreneurs. If you had to really narrow it down, and we deal with a lot of people that own their own businesses and or are at the point where they're selling out of their business, and that's where some of this money's coming from, is the sale of their business.
Well, let's talk about the money, Chad. Give us a cents per acre. You know, if you're thinking of forested acres for hunting land, what's the price tag look like these days?
Well, and that's the big question. The answer is it varies. It's just like any other commodity. There's a lot of factors that go into that. If you're talking about Buffalo County, that has a little bit more of a draw in terms of the deer hunting side. There's a 40-acre wooded property can go for anywhere between $8,000 and $10,000 per acre. That's the extreme kind of high side. If you were to place more of an average on it for western Wisconsin, I think you're probably looking somewhere in that $5,000 to $6,500 per acre range. But what's crazy is just 5 years ago, that was probably $3,500 an acre. Some cases we've seen it double, you know, in that period of time.
Do you anticipate a time when there will be more land available on the market as the seller wants to let go?
Not really. That seems, the let go part seems to be more of a life event decision. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's people that can no longer maintain their rural properties, whether it's a home and acreage or the hunting land that had the trails and fields and that sort of thing, that you know, people get to a certain point where they physically can't keep up with it. That seems to be one of the major, what I'd call, seller groups that we work with. The other group is, you know, people that unfortunately get, you know, bad news when it comes to a medical diagnosis. They get a diagnosis that they know that in the next couple of years, they're probably not going to be able to be out there in the woods or in the field, and they're going to have to talk about selling the farm.
Chad, I also wanted to ask you, too, if we think about the government's role when it comes to recreational land sales, if we talk about interest rates, tax incentives, conservation programs, do you see that playing a role in land sales and purchases?
I don't see the interest rates playing as big a role on the land sales as what we did in the housing market. It just seems like those buyers are a little different class of buyer, a little different position in life. So the interest rate didn't affect the land buyers as much. Government programs, it's kind of all over the board there. There's mixed reactions. You know, Wisconsin has MFL, which is a great tax incentive. However, first-time buyers love it because it knocks the taxes way down, but people that have been in the land game for a while don't like it because it restricts your usage or puts government oversight on what you can and can't do with your land, and there's a class of people that don't like that. So yeah, it's kind of all over the board. It affects different people in different ways. There are certain programs like CRP that help buyers in terms of, you know, it kicks a little income in there, but it also pushes that overall price point up. So it's a little bit of a, where's the money best spent?
Chad, do you have advice for folks looking to buy recreational land today?
I would say get in as soon as you can afford to, and get in at what you, you know, at an affordable amount. If that's 10 acres or 20 acres, jump in, use that as what I'd call a diversification on your investment portfolio. Don't put all your eggs into one basket, but if you can afford to buy 10 or 20 acres, do it, because you're going to be able to roll that into something different down the road.
Chad Garteski along with us. He's the owner and broker with Weiss Realty, specializing in rural properties across Wisconsin and Minnesota, giving us the lay of the recreational land this morning. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
Big G says Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, Wisconsin is a must for golfers of all skill levels. Designed by the legendary Pete Dye, this course delivers 18 holes of pure fun. When Big G works up an appetite, he heads to Die Hard's for pizza or an Italian beef sandwich big enough to satisfy even him. He's a fan of the brand new carts with state-of-the-art rangefinders. Mention Big G's name and receive $20 off your round through October 31st.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
There's a lot more that unites us than divides us, particularly hockey. Bill McCoshin, president of the Janesville Jets, will be along. Peter Rapine looks at the week in review, and Phil Nee on Outdoor Theaters. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Rocky at Tay Cheetah said just a couple drops on the car, nothing in the gauge. Butch is rolling in Alto on corn silage, just a little bit of a shower that missed him. Connie, I was up in Velders on Wednesday and I was thinking about you. Barely a trace there. She said her students are pushing really hard to get the corn off before the weekend rain. Is there going to be weekend rain? Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, along with us. I know they had beautiful weather for the Luke Bryan concert last night. I think that's going to take a toll on the rest of the farm team that was out there. But what do you got for rainfall totals so far?
Well, I've got a few here and there. None of it really adds up to much. La Crosse at 1/100th of an inch. River Falls at 4/100ths of an inch. Park Falls, 3/100ths of an inch. And then there's Wausau, 62/100ths of an inch, over 6/10ths of an inch of rain.
So they were the big winners, shall we say, last night.
If you want to call it a winner, yeah. And it's hit and miss activity. I mean, even the radar this morning, kind of a band of activity from Shawnee County, the Menominee Reservation, up to far northwest Wisconsin, Ashland, Bayfield, that area. Some scattered activity into west central Wisconsin as well. And even into the south, some sprinkles in the Madison area, I bet, here pretty soon, Pam. But none of it's amounting to a great deal of rain today. We still have the upper system out to the west, that frontal boundary kind of waving into southern Minnesota. and then down into western Illinois. So, you know, it's kind of skirting Wisconsin, holding out in the southwest edge of the state. And that's where we do see some of that rain this morning, of course, like northeast Iowa as well. But that frontal boundary waves in and out over the next day or two. That low pressure system will pull further north and up into Canada. So an isolated shower, maybe a thunderstorm, some activity this morning could redevelop again later today, not adding up to much in most areas. But then it's a little more of a likelihood, I'd say, later tonight into Saturday that we see some showers and maybe an isolated thunderstorm or two. Rainfall amounts in many areas pushing up toward that quarter, maybe half inch range. So from tonight through Saturday, a little better chance we'd have something in the rain gauge. But that scattered shower, you know, raining here and not there, that chance is going to linger into Sunday as well. I can't just say it's going to dry out. This system's slow to pull away. And as moisture's been building around it for a couple of days, that occasional little pop-up showers to be expected almost anywhere statewide. Saturday night, or even into Sunday. I know there's a tractor pull scheduled in Rosendale on Sunday. Fingers are crossed that things don't get too wet and it could dry out, but those little scattered showers are going to be around. We'll have to watch that one. Along with the rain, it does stay a little bit cooler, no doubt about that. Those temperatures dropping back to normal or maybe a little below for a time in some parts of the state. They'll be rising up again early next week. Expect that as we make our way on into next week, we push back into the upper 70s, almost 80. It still sounds like summertime weather sticking around, even though summer officially ends with the autumnal equinox early next week. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
We're number one. We're number one.
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Rural Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
There's only one silage brand that's been raising the bar for over 30 years. There's only one silage seed lineup that's been designed, selected, and tested for optimal performance in Midwestern soils and conditions, and enjoyed by millions of cows across the region. You might be hearing about a lot of newcomers who promise more milk per ton and more tonnage per acre, but there's only one you should trust. Dairyland Seed High DF. Discover the high DF difference at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
All righty, Stu. Tell me about the weekend.
All right. Well, let's look at some mostly cloudy skies today, Pam, and our Compure Financial Ag weather forecast does include that little scattered shower, isolated storm. Some seeing it this morning. Some may not see it until late in the day. But I expect temps today, a lot of us still mid-70s, could be an 80 in southern Wisconsin. Madison and south may warm that much. East winds about 5 to 10. Kind of the same picture then, mostly cloudy, could be a scattered shower, an isolated thunderstorm in the night, late night possibilities, upper 50s, low 60s with east breezes. Still the same Saturday, that chance of a shower, could be thunderstorm, maybe a little more likelihood during the afternoon for thunderstorms tomorrow. That's where that rain amount up to a quarter inch, maybe a half inch could be seen. And even then for Sunday, still some cloudy skies, hit or miss showers around, maybe some breaks in the clouds later in the day, but the rain chance lingers, Pam. Low and mid 70s for high Sunday with southwest breezes. That little scattered shower chance lingers to Monday. So, you know, I wish I could say it's going to rain here and then not here, but it could be popping up anywhere.
But not a lot of measurable. I mean, none of my rainfall reporters are going to be overwhelmed.
I don't think so. I don't think, well, you know, nobody's going to end up with an inch all of a sudden. Okay. But there'll be rain on and off.
All right. Well, we'll see what they say. Very good, my friend. Have a good weekend. Are you going up to the tractor pull if it goes?
I'm supposed to be an announcer, so we'll see.
Yeah, they do kind of keep you in the loop when you have those responsibilities, don't
There's
they?
There's that, yeah.
All right. Okay, good deal. Well, you report back on Monday, okay?
All right. We'll catch you then.
That is Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday and your public service announcement about the Rosendale tractor pull coming up this weekend. Talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Don't forget, Compeer Financial is your financial partner. Looking at an agriculture investment, start talking to them now. Interested in that hunting land or maybe a rural piece of property? They know all about it. You can find the resources and get started today at Compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent segment of the Maggie Dawn Show about a proposed bill that would affect local farmers.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm joined this half hour by Senator Brad Pfaff of the 32nd State Senate District. He has introduced three key pieces of legislation this cycle to help support Wisconsin farmers and families. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the bills that you've introduced this year. I want to start with the most recent one because it's so incredibly important in light of what's going on federally. It is the Agricultural Purchase Program. Tell folks a little bit about it.
I did introduce legislation that, again, links consumers with our family farmers. It recognizes that this piece of legislation that was jammed through Congress last week is going to have an impact, and I would say a negative impact, on too many individuals that, through no fault of their own, are seeking food assistance at different times in their life. And so what this piece of legislation does is very simple. It provides grants to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. And then the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture would work with local food organizations in order to provide financial assistance. And those local food organizations then would contract directly with local farmers to receive the bring in the food that they seek. May it be meats, may it be milk, may it be cheeses, may it be maple syrup, whatever it may be. And so, again, it is trying to broaden out the supply chain as far as with agriculture, and at the same time, it's linking family farmers with consumers. And I think that is so very important. And what it's also doing is it recognizes during when there are challenges and dips in the marketplace and people are down on their luck, that we're just not throwing people to the street. We're recognizing the fact in a wealthy nation and a state like Wisconsin that grows food, we want to make sure that we can feed our neighbors.
People, because we have been rightly focused on the big, brutal bill, as well as the state's biennial budget, people forget that one of the first things that Donald Trump did was cut all kinds of aid programs willy-nilly through executive orders, and it ended up immediately hurting Wisconsin farmers because we literally had food rotting in storage houses, not getting to the people that need the food. This most recent bill is called the Agricultural Purchase Program. It's a bill to establish a $30 million fund within the Department of Agriculture, again, to make sure that families in need of emergency food assistance in the state get it and that they get that food assistance from our family farms.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Sources tell ABC that President Trump is moving to fire the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia after his office was unable to prosecute the New York Attorney General, Letitia James. ABC's Dave Packer has more.
Federal prosecutors in Virginia have uncovered no clear evidence to prove that James had knowingly committed mortgage fraud when she purchased a home in the state in 2023. But sources say Trump officials pushed U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert to nevertheless bring criminal charges against her.
His last day is expected to be today. President Trump suggested the FCC could take away licenses from broadcasters repeatedly critical of him. That follows Disney's decision to take Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. The CDC vaccine advisory panel continues work today, considering changing scheduling recommendations for vaccinations. And the head of British intelligence said there's no evidence Vladimir Putin wants to negotiate peace in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
A close call for Kraft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers were holding practice yesterday when suddenly Tucker Kraft went down with a knee injury after an exam they don't believe it's going to be long-term. Now, the Packers play the Browns on Sunday. Can Luke Musgrave or John Fitzpatrick fill Kraft's spot at tight end? Offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich.
I like our room with the tight end room, so I think, you know, we'll be able to figure out the best path forward depending on what happens there with Tucker.
Badger football, Wisconsin against Maryland, 11 a.m. tomorrow in Madison. In their first Big Ten game of the year, is this where they can start to turn the program around? Quarterback Danny O'Neill.
Yeah, absolutely. We're 2-1 right now. So there's a lot of teams that are the same way. So just being able to, you know, go execute against Big Ten opponents. And yeah, like you said, everything that we want is still in front of us.
Baseball, the Brewers in St. Louis tonight against the Cards. Milwaukee's magic number now down to 4 after sweeping the Angels last night 5-2. Quinn Priester's 12th win in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, our regular Week in Review panelists with any updates on who else the president has had canceled in the media. I mean, assuming it doesn't include us.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bourbons. Mostly cloudy skies for today. A cooler day with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing, highs in the upper 60s. Showers likely, perhaps a thunderstorm tonight. We're looking for lows in the mid-50s, with rain still likely on Saturday. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a deal.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of the Todd Alba Show, where he's joined by James Small.
Happy and proud and honored to have James Small, the Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager at the UW School of Medicine and Rural Health. James, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me on today.
Let's talk a little bit about this workforce more, because you're much more, obviously much more versed in this than I am. I know a few years back, a good friend of mine, Troy Everson, which was integral in the Viroqua and Vernon County EMS and EMT system. He now does that down in Burlington, Wisconsin. And I know he helped get through a piece of legislation years ago where high school students that were taking courses to be volunteers were allowed to actually help and actually do some of the stuff as long as they were with a licensed person on the team. And that really opened up and not just created more workforce, but also was almost like an apprentice type of training. Have you seen that have an effect?
Yes. You're seeing in a number of different regions around the state, the technical colleges are running what they call a dual enrollment program, where high school seniors will come in and learn a trade. And one of those programs might be fire and EMS. There's been a high demand for that. I've seen the technical college systems be very successful with that. There's also some high schools that have partnered with other training centers to offer EMT training right in the schools.
Wow.
And La Follette School of Public Policy just did an EMS-related report that came out in the last couple of weeks, and one of their key recommendations was expansion of the high school EMS programs to provide somebody access to a workforce, because those kids that are going through those programs right now are going to find a job pretty quickly after coming out of it.
And good paying with good benefits generally.
Yes. Yep. This is going to be a job that probably has a living wage with good benefits working for a government right out of high school, potentially in some cases.
Yeah.
And then continue on with further training like paramedic training and so on. But it's I think that's one tool that we need to look at. But just access to training in general. you know, when we did our ambulance reliability study a couple of years ago, one of the things that we found is about 13% of the services had an hour or more drive to a training center. Well, that's a huge barrier. If you're depending on volunteers to come in and they're going to work their regular job all day, drive an hour to training, spend 4 hours in training, drive an hour home, and then go back to their job the next day, their real job, and then they're going to do that 50 times. And that's a lot to ask of somebody who wants to come in and volunteer. So finding other access points is going to be, or alternative ways to delivering that training is something we need to do.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You know, artificial intelligence is the buzzword these days. A lot of folks worried about artificial intelligence costing jobs. Agriculture is looking at it a little differently. On the UW-Platteville campus, they know that artificial intelligence is going to be a major part of agriculture going forward. So it's not only about knowing how to use that technology, but who's going to service that technology and help make adjustments as technology advances. Platteville wants to dive in on that with students starting this fall. Ben Jarboe's on the way with an update from that campus. So glad you're along with us on this, the 19th day of September. I'm only going to focus in on birthdays this morning because there are plenty. Happy birthday to actor Jeremy Irons. He is 77. Remember the phrase Twiggy supermodel? What, that probably be back in the 70s? Twiggy is 76 as of today. Trisha Yearwood, Mrs. Garth Brooks, turned 61. And comedian, actor Jimmy Fallon, he is 51 as we roll our way into a Friday. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report Ride Along, a new program to take you along with us out to farms across the state where we're looking at the technology and innovations that farmers are gravitating to through the harvest of 2025. Today, our guests that have invited us to join them for the Ride Along, Dairyland Seed, had a chance to travel to Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin, and visit Majestic Crossings Dairy. Brian Neeb is the operation manager there and explains a little bit about the history of the farm and their history with Dairyland Seed.
Go back to 1998 when the first expansion happened. The Strauss family kind of came together with one of their employees, started what was what we call our Meadows site. At this point, they kind of grew it. And from there, I believe historically it was like 2001. There was another neighboring facility to the north. They came together as another operation. So we don't consider ourselves a family farm, but we consider ourselves a farm of families.
Right.
So we have a group of various partners. Each one of us has different roles in the operation. My key role being cropping, that side of things. Darren Strauss takes care of all of the cattle side dairy. With that, along with his guys that he's got in the barn, he's got a couple of key members there that kind of manage things for him, and he oversees them, make sure everything keeps clicking there. Each one of us having those specific goals, trying to make everybody's life a little bit easier, I guess, versus the traditional farm where everybody is, you know, a one-man operation or a couple partner operation can get a little bit tougher. So it gives us a little bit more flexibility that way, especially in their own areas. Allows us to, we feel, do the best we can and focusing on the areas that we're good at.
Well, you're living a good life this year. Wisconsin weather has looked pretty favorably, even on you guys right up on Lake Michigan with the weather.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good growing season, I would say.
There had been previous seed companies that had worked with Majestic Crossings. Yep. Tell me a little bit about that whole story evolution.
Kind of just looking for a better product for the cattle, for the feed.
Yeah.
Is kind of where this started. We've always had corn silage, but we started looking for something that could offer us a little bit more. Found that in the Dairyland HIDF varieties. We didn't necessarily want to transition to BMR. I know that's a very popular item out there for cattle feed. Wanted kind of something maybe a little bit in between that gave us a little flexibility, but still get us a lot of milk per ton out of the feed.
So you've been working with them a few years?
Yeah, I believe since 2013, 2014, okay. Roughly. We've done some plots working with Dairyland with some of their PXP programs and other plots, trying to see what some of these new varieties, how they perform, taking a close look at what those varieties did. A lot of the studies, documentation that Dairyland puts out there. You do a great job as far as doing research, figuring out what works best, and providing good information to us as the growers on what is going to fit that placement well.
So a true partnership.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
That is a busy fellow this time of the year, Brian Neeb, operations manager at Majestic Crossing Dairy in Sheboygan Falls. Right now, he is working on harvesting 3,200 acres to keep the dairy cows fed at Majestic Crossing Dairy. That is all of their emphasis, making sure those cows have feed in front of them that keeps them performing. And one hybrid that Brian Neeb is very excited about, Dairyland High DF. I talked with Chad Stoudinger, regional agronomist from Dairyland Seed, about what Dairyland High DF is and why dairy producers like Brian Neeb really like it.
Yeah, so High DF basically stands for highly digestible forage. But if you picture kind of an umbrella, there's a set of hybrids that we have underneath that umbrella, and they all do different things. They're all in the High DF program. But really, when we select these hybrids, we're looking for three main things, and it's solid agronomics, the utmost highest yield potential, and then we also are looking for forage quality when it comes to starch content of the corn silage on a percentage basis. We're looking for fiber digestibility. That's a big one. So with the High DF program, if you compare it to a standard dual-purpose corn or grain corn harvested for silage, you're going to get a bump in fiber digestibility, and it doesn't really matter which metric you're using to measure that, whether it's TTNDFD, NDFD30, or UNDF240. You're going to get a bump in those levels in fiber digestibility over dual-purpose corn, and you're definitely going to get a yield bump also above a standard dual-purpose corn. So,
you know, we talk a lot about dual-purpose corn. That used to be it when it came to corn salad. Yeah. So for operations like Majestic Crossing, are you finding that they really are pushing the desire for a hybrid that delivers that nutrition and ready to walk away from some of those?
Yes, I mean, dual-purpose corns fit a need. There's still a lot of acres of dual-purpose for those farmers who aren't sure what they're going to be harvesting for silage versus grain. In the case of Brian's operation in Majestic Crossing, we know there's a set number of acres that are going to be harvested for silage no matter what. So we can use High DF-style hybrids here, push that tonnage, and push that forage quality, maybe take a little bit of a risk, say, in like late-season stock, for example, or test weight, because we know we're not harvesting for these products for grain. We'll accept that because it's going to show us an improvement in forage quality, and we know these hybrids are not going to be out in the field in November, December. So that's the real advantage of the High DF program, is we're selecting products with silage in mind first. Not saying some of them can't be harvested for grain, but the priority is silage first. So that's important with the High DF program.
There you go. Chad Stoudinger, regional agronomist for Dairyland Seed, working with Majestic Crossing Dairy in Sheboygan Falls to make sure that plant performs just the way that dairy operation needs it to for maximum performance. Thanks so much to Dairyland Seed, Chad Stoudinger, as well as the rest of the Dairyland team for inviting us out. And thank you very much to Brian Neeb and the entire crew at Majestic Crossing Dairy in Sheboygan Falls for taking time away from the harvest to visit with us. If you want to find out more about Dairyland High DF Seed or any of the yield data they've got this fall, pop on over to DairylandSeed.com. That'll do it for this edition of the Midwest Farm Report Ride Along. I'm PM Yankee.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
Today's consumers have a lot of questions about where their food comes from and how it's produced. And that's all we talk about. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, and at the Midwest Farm Report, all we do is try to make sure you've got clear information on what Wisconsin farmers are doing today to put food on your table tomorrow. It's not about eat this versus that, but instead giving you the information you need to make smart decisions as a consumer. Join us at MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, and be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Congratulations to Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski. Aside from serving Wisconsin, he's now been named president of the Midwestern Association of State Departments of Agriculture. That happened during their national meeting in Arkansas this month. He will now oversee a group of commissioners, secretaries, and directors of agriculture from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, and South Dakota. And he'll actually be hosting a regional meeting in Wisconsin coming up next summer. Markets in Chicago, not real bright this morning. If you're watching the dairy trade, yesterday barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese dropped a quarter to 168 and a quarter. AA butter down a half at 180 and a half. October class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning's up 6, 1751. December new crop corn's up a penny at 425. November beans up a nickel at 1042. July wheat currently a penny and a half lower at 562 a bushel.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This week we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
In on things like fall mums in their greenhouse. They've got about 1,000 square feet that they dedicate to multiple types of plants. And right now, a lot of people looking forward to a little fall color. But they also remind you what kind of care that mum needs to kind of be able to overwinter potentially.
They love sun. Some people, they put them on the porch and they wonder why they never bloom. And I always tell them to move them out in the sun until they're blooming and then move them in on your porch. Most of the time when it's this kind of 80 degree temperatures, you need to check them every day for water.
It's roughly between a half and a gallon of water every day have to go on them. That's, you know, when we have our mums set up where we're growing them, it's about a gallon of water goes on each one every day.
Well, we love, love, love the story. That's just part of it. Marcy McShaw from Honeymoon Acres in New Holstein, along with her husband, Joe, have a 1,000-square-foot greenhouse they've been running for more than 40 years. She also points out that this year, 37,000 chrysanthemums on display. Stephanie Hoff's got a story on the McShaw farming operation on our website and podcast playlist. Check it out, MidwestFarmReport.com. The governor's declared September 11th through November 2nd as Wisconsin's agricultural tourism season, and rightly so. Coming up next, focused in on artificial intelligence. Isn't that the buzzword these days? You're investing in it, watching the market about it, and people are watching for jobs. Some are worried it's taking jobs away. On the UW-Platteville campus, they say it's more jobs in agriculture. Ben Jarbo joining us next with that story on a Friday.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is building strong farms for a strong future right here in America's Dairyland. Join them and Pam Yonke at World Dairy Expo on October 1st and 2nd at 1 p.m. at booths 3403 and 3404 in the exhibition hall.
Axiota Animal Health is focused on science-based solutions for dairy animal health. Multimin 90 provides a blend of injectable vitamins. Lactopro helps support high-energy diets. Learn more about Axiota on Thursday, October 2nd at 9:30 a.m. or visit axiota.com.
There's only one silage brand that's been raising the bar for over 30 years. There's only one silage seed lineup that's been designed, selected, and tested for optimal performance in Midwestern soils and conditions, and enjoyed by millions of cows across the region. You might be hearing about a lot of newcomers who promise more milk per ton and more tonnage per acre, but there's only one you should trust. Dairyland Seed High DF. Discover the high DF difference at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Wisconsin colleges have been back in session for about a month now, and some students in the ag departments have seen changes to what's in their curriculum. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and at UW-Platteville, there have been advancements to make sure students are getting the education they need for their future. Tara Montgomery, the director of the School of Agriculture at UW-Platteville, is here to share a deeper dive into advancements in the Precision Ag Department, as well as the use of generative AI in the classrooms.
So we have had the opportunity to get a foundation grant from CHS Foundation to implement some additional work in our classes. So looking at precision agriculture from the agronomy standpoint and within our ag engineering technology, bringing in more equipment so that students can learn drone work, learn how to take the data that can be generated in the field, and then how to apply it. So not just taking the data, but learning how equipment can be upgraded to be able to collect the kind of data that we want, learn how to position the equipment so that the satellites can pick up the information, those kinds of things, but then also how to interpret the data. That's a really big piece of it. We can collect data all day long, but if we don't teach the students how to interpret that data and then apply it back into the field, then we're missing a piece. So we're spending some time improving our curriculum from that standpoint.
Well, another program that you're working on, or another aspect to ag education that you are working on building, is the use of AI. Obviously, that's been a huge topic in today's world, especially in recent years. How are you incorporating that into this curriculum?
Well, there's a number of ways that we've gotten excited about generative AI. We certainly know that it's out there and that students have been using it and have been playing around with it in ways that maybe aren't as productive. We don't want students to just take an assignment, feed it into, let's say, ChatGPT or Copilot, and say, give me an answer. We want to help to teach the students how to interact with ChatGPT or Copilot or some of the other generative AI platforms so that they can get the best outcome, that they can make their work more efficient, as well as learn how to do it not just across the entire internet, but feed it the information that we want and then ask questions about it. An example that I used in my calf and heifer class was I had them upload a research article and then ask questions of the research article and then reflect on the questions or the answers that they received from those questions and then fine tune some of the summary work that they needed to do so that they could take it to the next step and actually get data out of the generative AI that was going to be worthwhile instead of just trusting everything that comes out of AI. We can't always do that. We need to make sure that we're using critical thinking as we're interacting with these programs.
Tara Montgomery also says that in the spring semester, they will be getting a state-of-the-art hydroponic system to allow students to learn more about how they can grow things better in the greenhouses.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Turning a greenhouse gas into electricity today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. I knew a guy who was caught in a power takeoff on his dairy farm. By some miracle, he survived. Most farmers aren't as lucky. Keep those shields in place. Don't wear loose clothing around a power takeoff. And shut the tractor off before doing any work or adjustments to the PTO. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Marilyn Hershey and her husband operate a 900-cow dairy near Cochranville, Pennsylvania. Hershey is the board chair for Dairy Management Incorporated, which manages the National Dairy Checkoff Program. Hershey says they added a methane digester to their farm in 2017.
It converts the manure from the cows into electricity. And when we first started looking into this, biofuel was very new. It would have cost us a lot of money to get that compressed natural gas to the pipeline. And so we ended up going towards the electricity route.
Hershey says the farm also turns food and beverage waste into fuel for the digester or a feed supplement for the cows. She says a veterinary expert told her it was a great way to curb greenhouse gases.
He didn't have an exact figure, but he said it could be up to 10 times less emissions going into the air by running it through the cow, as opposed to letting it stew in the landfill. So I feel like that's also a way that we're able to recycle and incorporate some environmental practices on the farm.
Hershey says these practices help the farm be more economically sustainable as well. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel as we go deep on what Charlie Kirk said, the GOP's response to his assassination, and what is hate speech. Really, don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Big G says Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, Wisconsin is a must for golfers of all skill levels. Designed by the legendary Pete Dye, this course delivers 18 holes of pure fun. When Big G works up an appetite, he heads to Die Hard's for pizza or an Italian beef sandwich big enough to satisfy even him. He's a fan of the brand new carts with state-of-the-art rangefinders. Mention Big G's name and receive $20 off your round through October 31st.
Hear every Brewer game all season long right here on WBZH.
Swing and a bouncer hit the third. Double play ball. Ortiz for Terang for one. The first to double play.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The buzz of the North.
Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is gone. Off the top of the wall and out of here.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The buzz of the North.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark in Paris. It's the reopening of the towers at the Notre Dame Cathedral 6.5 years after the devastating fire, with President Macron on hand for the ceremony. Across the channel Thursday in the UK, President Trump held a joint press conference with Prime Minister Starmer, and he was asked about negotiations with the Chinese government over TikTok.
We're pretty close to a deal. We may do an extension with China, but it's an extension based on the same terms that we have right now, which are pretty good terms.
While returning to the U.S., the president told reporters that broadcasters that frequently criticize him should lose their licenses a day after Disney pulled Jimmy Kimmel's late-night show from the air. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. The FDA's vaccine advisory panel will continue to consider today whether to change its recommendation for hepatitis B vaccines a day after deciding children under 4 should not get the single shot that includes chickenpox, measles, mumps, and rubella, recommending they're administered separately. This is ABC News.